black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Zia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Jefferson County, Missouri. I remember the encounter well. It happened in July of 2003. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I arrived at my mother's house and parked down by the garage, which is down by the woods. We lived down a gravel road, a densely populated area. I mean, probably 10 people for every square mile. I had my dog with me. She's 40% wolf and lab. She acted really strange. Ever since I was a kid, I had been scared to go down to the garage. That was once a barn. It always felt like someone was there. Someone was watching me. We get out of the car, and Kaylee, my dog, starts barking at the woods. But it's too dark to see, but I hear some commotion. We rushed up to the house and went in, and I ducked behind the door. In the dusk to dawn light, I wanted to see if there was anything following me. There was a human-like shadow coming from around the house. I grabbed my pistol and darted out the door. As I came around the side of the house, I came maybe within 5 feet away from this huge grayish-black being. Instantly, I turned and ran back to the sidewalk. I then turned around to see the creature gracefully, with a weird type of movement, walk up to the top of the driveway, then stop, turn, and stare at me with sort of a soul-digging look. Then Kaylee takes off after it. The creature walks 2 steps to the shadows, turns, and disappears. And then Kaylee comes running back. I stood there for a few minutes, in shock for my life. It scares me so bad. I get the chills when I think about it. The creature was grayish-black, demonic-looking. Walked like a man, but lumbered along like an ape. It had the strangest glowing eyes, like a pair of night vision goggles at night. Very strange. I will never forget this encounter. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. A Sunday night. Hope you guys liked the retelling of that encounter from Missouri, or Missouri, I guess, depending on what part of the state you're in. There's an elderly lady that emails me every time I say Missouri. She corrects me and lets me know it's Missouri. So I'm waiting for an email from her. It's in good fun, and I take it in stride. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. There's a shop at the top. You can get some pretty cool gear. And sign up, become a member, help support the show and keep the show going. SasquatchChronicles.com. How's everyone doing tonight? Thank you again for being here. Interesting show tonight. I'll be speaking to Doug. And Doug was driving home from work one night, and he saw one of these creatures on the side of the road. Very, very fascinating encounter. So he'll be coming up. I'll also be speaking to Matt, who's from California. And Matt had two encounters he'll be sharing with us tonight. And then I'll be speaking to John, who's from Missouri. And he has a very, very thick accent. I was kind of teasing John off the air. It's in good fun when him and I talk, but and I'll let him know, you know, it's fun, like brotherly ribbing. But first time John and I talked, I didn't understand a word he said. I was sitting there listening to him, and I would catch bits and pieces of it. Might be me, may not be him. But I absolutely love his accent, and that it's a real thick Southern accent. I'm going to turn this guy into a star. I might have John come back and read news on a weekly basis on the show. Maybe I'll have a court reporter in there too as well to kind of repeat back what John says. But and it's in good fun. Again, John is absolutely, I could sit, he needs to do audiobooks. I could sit and listen to this guy all day long talk. But he'll be coming on later to share his encounter. And I even gave John a call earlier. Absolutely love this guy. And I his laugh, you'll hear it. It'll be towards the end of the show, but I'll bring him on last to tell his encounter. And John has a great heart. John, if I know you're listening, thank you so much for listening, man. Let's jump into it tonight. I know Doug had his encounter in Pennsylvania. Doug, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here, man.
Well, no problem. I'm glad you all have me.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you. I appreciate you being here. If you would, for the audience, I know you had something cross the road in front of you. For the audience, would you kind of walk us into what you experienced? Were you, tell us what you were out doing. Obviously, you were driving. And
well,
just
it wasn't really a road crossing. I was coming home from work, and at that time, I worked the midnight shift. So I was traveling toward a little town in Pennsylvania called Mercer on Route 62. Now, it was, we got out of work then at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was it was in December, kind of cold, kind of rainy, you know. I had a vehicle in front of me that was one of my coworkers. He was approximately 300 to 400 yards in front of me, and I had another coworker behind me that was approximately the same distance away as I was from the guy in front of me, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Well, 62 crosses, there's a road that comes in from the left of that. It's called Skyline Drive or Skyline Road, just a wee little road. It starts up a grade there, and I'm driving up the hill, and like I said, I was going to the Mercer to get gas for my vehicle. And at the time, I had a 2006 Dodge Crop. I mean, I wasn't going super fast. I wasn't going super slow. Speed limit, 50, 55, 60 miles an hour. I start up this little grade, and on the left-hand side of the road was this giant thing walking up the side of the road, just like a person would do. And it was the only kind of color I can describe it was like a tan, like a deer, like Carhartt tan, okay? Now, you have to understand that this part of 62, there's no lights. There's a few houses. There was no flashlight. And, you know, you're walking against traffic in fairly dark clothes in 3 o'clock in the morning, quarter after three in the morning. I mean, that's pretty much taking your life in your hands. You know, the shoulder of the road isn't wide. And it just, I looked and I'm like, I said in my mind, what the hell is that? And kept going up the road. Well, I get to the sheets, and my coworker in front of me, I get out of my truck, and I said to him, Alan, I said, did you see? And he stopped me. His exact words were, I won't say it on the air, but his exact words were, you mean that giant MF-er walking up the side of the road? I went, yeah. I said, he was on the left-hand side of the road. And Alan's like, the coworker was like, no, when I saw him, he was on the right-hand side of the road. It wasn't too long after that, my coworkers that were behind me pulled in. And we asked them, hey, did you see anything walking up the road? There was two guys in my buddy's truck. They're like, absolutely not. What are you guys talking about? I said, I saw something big and brown walking up the left-hand side of the road. Alan saw it up the right-hand side of the road. And right away, oh, I bet you saw a Bigfoot. I bet you saw a Bigfoot and all this other crap. And, you know, I don't know what I saw. All I know is if that was a human, and I didn't see no long flowing hair or, you know, the big arm swing or any of that. If that was a human walking up the side of the road, I'm going to start my own basketball team with him. Because it was 6.5, 7 foot tall. I mean, I've hunted and fished in Pennsylvania my whole life. I rode bulls professionally for 15 years. I can kind of judge the size of something. This is 600 pound around there. And it had a, when it was walking, it wasn't like bobbing. It was just kind of a real smooth kind of walk. And probably two of the biggest people I've ever have seen face to face. One of them was a tackle that the Steelers had named Max Starks. He was like 6'8", over, well over 300 pounds, professional football player. And whatever was walking up that road made Max Starks look like my 12-year-old daughter. Just, it looked like a big 7 foot, 7.5 foot pro bodybuilder. Real narrow waist, shoulders that were 3.5, 4 feet wide. You know, it wasn't a person. I don't care. People were ridiculed me for it. One of my best friends is a police officer in the borough that I was going to. And he's like, yeah, dude, so Bigfoot. You know, people get kind of,
You know,
people don't believe in stuff like that. You know, they kind of just kind of get on you about it, you know? And like I said, there's no, did I see Bigfoot? I don't know. Did I see a person walking up the side of the road, 3 o'clock in the morning, no light, no vehicle breaking down on the side of the road on a pretty cruddy night to be out doing anything? I really don't think so. And if that was a person walking up the road, why would it switch from one side of the road to the other and then totally disappear? I just don't get it. You know, I saw something. I don't know what, you know, you say, no, yeah, I just saw a Bigfoot. You know what I mean? I just don't.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And you'll find that too, Doug, when you talk to a lot of people, and I've spoken to a lot of people, especially hunters. Rarely will you get a hunter say, I saw Sasquatch. A lot of times what they'll say is, okay, it wasn't a man and it wasn't a bear. I'm not really sure what I saw. But in your case, you know, if you're talking 6.5, 7 feet tall and 600 pounds, that's a pretty big boy to be walking down.
Well, like I said, if that was a human, number one, he didn't have a light. You know what I mean? And I don't know about me or you or whatever, but in every vehicle I have, I carry some sort of light in case something would happen at night, you know, flat tire or whatever. You know, there was no light. And like I said, Max Starks is probably the biggest person I've ever seen shook hands with. His hands made, you know, I'm 6'3" and I weigh 240 pounds. You know, I'm no big gym jock, but I go to the gym 6 days a week. You know, played football. I've done all that other stuff. Like I said, I rode bulls professionally. I know what a big animal is. I mean, this made a professional football player look like a kid, you know? And I'm not going to sit here and lie and say it looked at me. And no, I just, it just like said, oh, okay, here comes a truck. I'm just going to keep walking. You know, I got a quick look at it.
And Doug, I wanted to ask you, I didn't mean to cut you off, but when you saw it, was it, when you were passing by, was it, did it have its back to you or did it have its front to you?
No, it had its back to me. It was like going up the hill the same direction I was, but on the left-hand side of the road. So its back was to me. Now, for me traveling that road every now and then now, you know, there's a big power line there. There's woods on each side of the road. You know, did it go up the power line? Did it jump in the woods? Did it say, hey, I've already had two people see me? You know, two more, you know, I just don't know what I saw. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a part.
And was it all that one color, that Carhartt color, that deer color?
Yes, sir.
From top
yes,
to
sir,
bottom?
It was. You know, yes, sir, it was. I, like I said, I'm not going to lie to you and say I saw all this long flowing hair and gave me the Patty look and all that other stuff. No, it didn't. You know, just like, oh, hey, I'm walking up the road. It was just strange. You know, I still talk about it. And that happened, oh, let's see, I've worked at Chevron for 4 years. That was probably 2 years ago, I think, if I remember it well, but it was right before Christmas. And like I said, it was a pretty nasty night to be out walking around because it's rainy and cold and stuff like that. But like you said, it wasn't a person. I don't care. Mike Tyson come in here and say, you saw a person, I'd fight him over it because it wasn't no damn person. You know, like I said, I've hunted and I fished in Pennsylvania, Western states, camped. I've never, ever, and I wasn't scared in my truck. I've never been scared in the woods. I've heard some pretty weird stuff in the woods. And I've never been scared. I'm a country boy. You see that walking up to you in the woods and you're standing there in the woods, you're going to have a, you know, you're going to crap a pile you can hide behind.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I just don't, you know, I don't tell you, you know, that's what I saw.
No, I appreciate you talking about it. I appreciate you coming on and discussing it because, you know, that seems to be the consensus a lot of times with roadside crossings or if something is on the side of the road and people pass by. There's that fleeting glimpse, and not really a fleeting glimpse, but I mean, there's just, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 seconds and then it's over with. And I could see how you'd look at that and go, I don't know. I'm not really sure what I saw. It wasn't a person. It wasn't a bear. You know, like I said earlier, a lot of hunters say that. And I've had people.
Yeah, definitely wasn't a bear.
Yeah. And
definitely wasn't a bear. You know, a bear doesn't, you know, it walks on hind feet for a little distance. This was walking up the road like me and you would walk up the road. You know, I'd put my truck, my house on it. It wasn't a bear. You know, I don't want to hear that bears are, you know, yeah, okay, black bears, because that's where we have, that's what we have in Pennsylvania, black bears. They come in a couple different color phases, they can. You don't see it so much in Pennsylvania, more up toward Canada, you see like a cinnamon or a blonde or something like that. But, you know, that wasn't no bear. And it wasn't a person.
Yeah, you know, no, and I understand
it. It wasn't a person.
And I've always said, I think it's going to be some poor guy in an electric car that hits one of these things because it won't even hear it come. You know, they probably won't even hear the car coming. Yeah. But it's interesting with Sasquatch. A lot of times they don't really seem to be too shook up when a car comes by. There's a lot of encounters where they'll cross right in front of a car. And a car doing 40, 50 miles an hour, they'll step out and cross right in front of it. And it's the behavior that you describe. It's, you know, any other known animal, whether it be predator or prey, would generally, you would think, would bolt the moment a car is coming up. I mean, I know deers will run across in front of your path, and but mm-hmm. most predators won't. I've never had a predator cross in front of me like that. And you would have known right away if it was a bear, just the way they move.
Yeah.
And you're an outdoorsman, you know. You're a hillbilly like me, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've camped in bear country. I've hunted in bear country. I've seen bears in the woods. I mean, I've seen deer in the woods, elk, you know, turkeys, bobcat, coyote, you know. And I've never said, well, what the hell is that? You know, I don't have an explanation for it.
Let me ask you, did your coworkers get a better look at it, or did they pretty much see what you saw?
Well, like I said, the people behind me said they didn't see anything. Now, my buddy in front of me, he just said that I saw a big brown thing walking up the road. That's exactly what he said. Like I said, he cut me off. He said, you mean that giant MF-er walking up the road? And, you know, the kid I worked with, he's an OBS type of dude. You know what I mean? I believe he saw the same thing I did. But when he saw it, it was on the right-hand side of the road. So in that couple hundred yards, it decided it was going to cross the road, you know. And why, I don't know. I just don't know. But it was just, I come home and I told my girlfriend, I said, yes, I just saw Bigfoot. She's like, yeah. I told her what I saw, just like I told you. She's like, well, babe, I don't know what you saw, you know. And like I said, my friend is a borough police officer in that borough I was going to. And, they laugh at me. He laughs at me. Hey, Douglas, the Bigfoot hunting. You saw him. Let's go there. How your buddies rib you.
Yeah.
What I mean? But it's just, do I believe in Bigfoot? Oh, absolutely. I'm a 48-year-old man. I remember The Legend of Boggy Creek and all those other movies on TV and In Search Of and all that stuff. I believe in that. And I believe in paranormal things and cryptozoological things. Have I ever had other experiences? I would say yes. But until more recently, I thought it was just something else. One night I was out fishing and I heard something coming through the brush at me that sounded like, I don't know if you've ever walked through kind of thick brush with hip boots on.
Oh yeah.
But there was nobody there. There was no light. There wasn't anything, deadly quiet and, by the lake and all that other stuff. Many, many years ago, I was at Ohio Powell. We would shoot the Allegheny River, my cousin's there. And we, my cousin, a friend of his and myself, walked back in these trails and something pushed over a tree. I mean, this was a long time ago. Like, before I graduated high school, I'm 48. I graduated in 88. So probably when I was at least 16 years old, 15 years old, a tree fell down. Well, now now that I know more about Sasquatch research and, behaviors, that could have been one pushing over a tree because we, pissed it off enough that we were close. And 2 years ago, out of McConnell's Mill State Park, I was fishing, and I got the creeps in the back of my head. And I turned around, and there was a big tree on this hill. McConnell's Mill is a pretty, some parts of it are not remote, but it's pretty rugged territory and stuff. The hill was real steep, and, something was peeking out behind a tree looking at me, but it was at a distance. You can tell when something's peeking out, I've had another experience that I've had. I was older. I was probably 20 years old out of Moraine State Park fishing again, and we were night fishing, and something bipedal ran through the water. It sounded like a person running through like ankle deep water. There wasn't anybody else there. Night fishing, you have a light with you. Have a flashlight to see where you're going in the woods.
Right.
No light, no anything. All of a sudden, this whooshing sound through the water. There wasn't fish jumping. No birds are taking off from the water in the middle of the night.
Yeah, so, just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you're right. Doesn't make sense. Those are the experiences I've had, but the most recent experience and the closest up one was was walking up the side of the road. I went back there a couple of days after it, and myself and a Bigfoot researcher looked around, and he took some pictures. That was the last time I heard anything about it.
Yeah.
I explained my story to a couple of different people, like Tony and, people that he knows. And, I think they believe me. I know what I saw.
Yeah, no, I believe you.
I absolutely know what I saw.
Yeah, and I think that's the encounter most people want. They don't want to be out there hunting and have one come running up to your tree stand. I think most people would want to be in a car, seeing these things. But in the same breath, it's frustrating because, it's a quick glimpse of just that moment of what the heck was that?
Exactly. I didn't have my camera, I didn't have my phone out or any kind of crazy stuff like that. I pretty much would have had to go up the road a couple hundred yards to even turn around. Turning around just didn't come into my brain. You know what I mean?
No, I understand.
I
understand.
I kind of wish I would have, but like I said, the people behind me said they didn't see anything. And you couldn't miss that thing walking up the side of the road.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if it stepped off and took off into the brush by the time that third car got to it.
But like I said, there's a power line that runs through there north to south. And, there's woods there and a power line. And from my understanding, they kind of like to walk on power lines.
Well, I think it's the same
understanding I kind of get.
Yeah, I think it's a theory a lot of people have. It's kind of the same theory as railroad tracks or walking out on a road, a lot of the crossings, and I keep saying roadside crossing, but you know what I mean, when people see them on the side of the road, generally it's at night. And I think that they use it for, it's a quick, easy way to travel. If I was out traveling and I came across some train tracks, I would follow the train tracks because you don't have to go through the brush. It's a quick, easy path. And same thing with the power lines, same thing with the road. There's definitely a lot of theories on it. But I really appreciate you coming on, Doug, and talking about it.
No problem, man.
It's a fascinating account. It's something I think most people, that would be the encounter I think most people would want. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know how it would affect me if I'm in my bow stand and, you know, a 7.5-foot monkey, for lack of a better term, stands there and looks at me. You know, I think I might be a little bit scared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, Wes, that's the experience I have, man. And, I mean, I put my hand on a Bible, and, you know, right up the road from me is a guy that does polygraphs for the Pennsylvania State Police. You know, I put me on the box.
Yeah. You know? No, I believe it. I believe
it. You know, like you said, am I saying that I saw a Bigfoot? I'm leaning that way, but definitely wasn't no tall, tan person walking up the road, because if it was, I want to be his agent in basketball.
Yeah, you know? No, I hear you. Well, thanks again, Doug.
Oh, yes, sir. No problem, man.
And we'll get to John in a moment. But next up on the show, I want to welcome Matt. Matt, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Wes. I'm a huge fan. I've been listening since pretty much the very beginning. And, yeah, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be on here and to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, like I always say, the honor's mine having you on. And for the audience, if they go to Matt Squatch Presents on YouTube, I had posted two of your encounters to SasquatchChronicles.com. So if people get a chance, Matt Squatch Presents, and I'll include a link in the show. Subscribe, like. And I always appreciate anyone putting out content. If you would, Matt, for the audience, could you kind of start from the beginning? Let's kind of walk into your, there's two main encounters, and then we'll get to some other things. But walk us into the first one.
Well, the first one happened in the spring of 2013. This happened in the southeastern Sierras, in a little town called Springville. There's like 11 or 1,200 people in this town. My father-in-law owns 15 acres, and it's kind of rolling hill farmlands with oak trees. And it's, like I said, it's just west of Sequoia National Park and National Forest. So it's really cool up there, because if you just go for a drive up the road that the house is off, you know, you drive past where my father-in-law's property, about 10 or 15 minutes up the road, and all of a sudden, boom, you turn a corner and you're in the redwoods and the sequoias, and it turns into like lush forest from all the oak trees. It's kind of a cool place. He's got a little two-bedroom, one-bath house with some old barns on it. And it doesn't, you know, maybe a few times a year we go up there and hang out and have fun. But it's really out there in the boondocks. And we've been kind of going up there for years. And this was just a trip. This was me and my brother-in-law, Ben, before we had kids and had a lot of free time. I think we just went up there in the spring. I want to say it was like in April. And we just did our typical thing where we, you know, build a campfire, drink some beer, go tromp around in the woods, and we can shoot right off the porch because it's all private property. So we would maybe shoot some 22s or something like that and just kind of have a good time. So, and both of us are hunters. I'm not a very big hunter. It's not like a huge thing, but it's something I'm mildly interested in. I don't mind, going dove hunting or going deer hunting every now and then. I have to say, I'm not a very good hunter. But yeah, so this night we decided to go up to Fire Road, which is about 15 minutes away from the property, which is on this road that the house is off of. And there's just a little Forest Service gate there and a little turnout, and you park, and it's kind of in what you would think of the deep, dark woods. It's kind of dense overgrowth, and there's sequoia trees and ferns and all this stuff growing. It's pretty thick, pretty cool place. And then you walk probably half mile down this fire road, and then it kind of starts to open up, and then it kind of starts to go back into oaks and scrub and more deciduous trees. And you can also tell there's a lot of cow pies around, cow licks. I guess it's like BLM, National Forest Land. And we've hunted birds and deer and other stuff there over the years. And well, on the property itself is just kind of down the road. It's just kind of downhill from here. We've had some weird things happen in the past. I don't know. I'll get into that stuff later. But so this night we decided we had our hunting licenses. In California, you can hunt coyote year round. It was in the evening before it got dark. And we walked down this road and we found this clearing, and we sat under this big oak tree that's on a clearing and a little hill that's in this clearing. And it's kind of surrounded by the mountain, kind of this big slope clearing, this big area. And we're sitting under this big oak tree, and it's got all this leaf litter on the ground and dead grass and everything else. So you can really, like, I think I was hiding behind between like a tree and like a bush. And I think he was hiding behind a bush too. And we were all camoed out and war painted up because we're a bunch of guys in the woods and we like that kind of stuff. And Ben had a little coyote bait attractant thing. It looked like one of those Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett hats, but it had a little motor in it and it bounced around. And I guess that looks like a tail whipping around. And I guess it's really common for coyote hunters. I had never been coyote hunting. I really didn't have that much of an interest in it. I just kind of wanted to go. I didn't have an interest in actually shooting a coyote, but Ben was into it. And I said, yeah, let's go sit in the wood with our guns. That sounds like fun. So we're sitting there, and he also has this coyote call, which I remember way, way back. You had a coyote call on a guy who called in a dog man. I do remember that episode, and kind of in retrospect, that was a little scary. But yeah, I remember he had this coyote call, and he put this speaker 30, 40 feet away, and he got this little remote control, and it puts out like a horrible wounded rabbit sound and a dying cow sound and a wounded deer fawn. And he's rah, 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 and he's horrible, horrible, you know, like you ran over a cat kind of sounds.
Yeah.
And I remember just, you know, we're just kind of sitting there and we're just kind of enjoying nature. And, you know, we can hear this little coyote call thing is loud. And I remember it was kind of echoing off the mountain. You could kind of hear, cause it would kind of call and burst. And I could just hear it echoing all across the mountain and then down the mountain and then down to the canyons. And I could just hear it echoing a long way. And I remember something crossing my mind going, predator call. Yeah. Predator call. We're making hurt animal sounds. Okay. And we're on this clearing. It's kind of dusk. We're a million miles from anywhere. It just kind of seemed like it kind of, you know, kind of raised a little red flag in my head. And I was just kind of like, oh, you know, you're fine. You're never going to run into anything. You know, I mean, to be honest, I was aware of Bigfoot. I had heard the stories at that point and I was kind of a little into it at that point. But I was like, it's not going to happen to me. Nothing like that's going to happen. I was actually more concerned about bears because we've been on this fire road a bunch of times and seen, you know, fresh bear scat and seen the prints and seen where they tore open trees and big old paw prints. And the trail camera on our property, which is 15 minutes of road, we've seen bobcats and mountain lions on there. And we've seen snakes and we've seen everything that lives in the woods up there. So I'm kind of really like, kind of more or less thinking about all that kind of stuff, and I don't want to get into a bear, and we don't have bear tags, and I don't want to shoot one. And I'm like, oh, well, we'll just see what happens. The odds are, I guess, pretty low. So we're kind of sitting there hunkered down underneath this big oak tree that's kind of draped over us, and we're hiding behind our bushes and tree trunks. And I could kind of hear in the leaf litter and in the grass behind me, I could kind of hear something like crunching around. If you've ever been in the woods, though, especially in the fall, I know this was the spring, but I don't know, with the exception of this last winter, the last few winters in California, we really didn't have a winter. It was really, really super dry. But I remember that spring, it was really dry out, especially for spring. You could hear the crunching in the grass. And if you've ever been in the woods, a squirrel going through the underbrush sounds like a freight train. So
yeah,
you really
true.
Just hear everything. Yeah, you really, it's amazing, especially when you're hunting and you're all hyped up and you're all tunnel vision going through the woods. You hear a squirrel come prancing along and it sounds like, you know, sounds like Jurassic Park is coming at you, and it's really just a squirrel or something.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there, and I remember hearing something behind me, and it kind of shuffling around going through the underbrush. And I'm like, well, maybe we're calling in a coyote, but it's kind of behind me. And I'm like, well, it's behind me. We got guns. I think I had an AR-15 with me, and I had a flashlight on it. It's kind of a tactical gun. I think Ben had some lever action rifle. I don't really remember. I guess it's not all that important other than to say that we didn't have moose guns with us. They were pretty light rifles, which, you know, having a small gun is better than no gun at all, I guess. But anyway, so we're sitting there, and I kind of hear this thing behind me, something behind me kind of crunching around. And the tree's kind of on top of this little hill in the middle of this clearing. And we're kind of looking out to the main part of the clearing. And we're sitting there, and it's getting dark, and it's getting right at that point to where you almost wish it was dark, because then you could go flashlights and see better, and it's kind of not exactly daylight, and we know we got to wrap up hunting because you can't hunt after dark anyway. So we're kind of sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear a whoosh come like right over my shoulder, and it was a rock, probably, I don't know, roughly the size of a football, somewhere between like a football and a soda can, pretty good size rock. It flies right by my head and lands right next to my foot. And I was just like, I freaked out. I froze. And I kind of like whipped around. I didn't really see anything. And I was like, what was that? Ben hops up and he's like, did you see that coyote? And I'm like, what are you talking about? There's a rock here. And I always thought his response was very odd, that he said, did you see that coyote? And I'm like, did I hallucinate this rock? You see this rock? It wasn't here a second ago. And he goes like, yep, that's a rock. Let's go, Matt. And he didn't say a word. He didn't acknowledge it. He didn't say, well, that's odd, or what's going on behind us? No, he just said, well, let's go. And I think he like at a very fast walk, damn near a jog, went and collected his coyote stuff. And we were walking up the road back to the truck, which to this day, whenever I tried to talk him about it, he was just kind of has this like, yeah, I don't know. I guess it was a weird experience. And I'm like, Ben, what throws rocks in the woods? Bears don't throw rocks. You know, eagles and condors don't drop rocks out of the sky. And he's just kind of like, yeah, well, I still say it was a coyote that ran between us. And I'm like, you mean a rock that flew next to my head? And he's like, yeah, I guess. He just doesn't really want to talk about it. But we're on our way back to the truck, and We're kind of shuffling along. We kind of hear something behind us, and we keep turning around. I think Ben's got a pocket flashlight, and I've got a little flashlight on my rifle. I think it was just a little cheapy flashlight that I think I got a scope ring and bolted to my AR-15, trying to be cool. And I remember we kind of turn around, we'd stop, we'd both kind of look behind us, we kind of look along the road, we'd look back down the road. Wouldn't really see anything. We'd go another 20 or 30 yards, and we would definitely hear something crunch, crunch, crunch coming up the road, or skipping, like kind of like crunch, 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 kind of just this really weird walking pattern, like something was following us. And we kept turning around, and I think at one point we were even like, hello, and we didn't really hear anything. And it's kind of, you know, when we would turn around, it would stop. We kept going up the road. And then we just kept hearing it like pacing us the whole time. And it was very odd. It was sending up you know, the hackles on the back of my neck. And it was just a very strange experience. And we got back in the car, and I was like, so Ben, what do you think was going on with that? And he was really just super tight-lipped about the whole thing. He didn't really want to talk about it. And I'm trying to like, what do you think? Cause I'm thinking, I was actually thinking it was Bigfoot, or somebody playing a prank on us, which I find unlikely, cause I don't know about you, but I would never want to throw rocks at a bunch of guys with guns.
No, yeah, makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't really, unless, and all of, we've been back there for years, I've never come across anybody's pot farm or any elite, you know, and there's no reason for somebody to be back there harassing us, and it's public land, and it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
And was it this that really sparked your interest in Sasquatch? Was it this particular incident?
You know, I kind of had an interest in it before that, just kind of like, I've always been into the paranormal. I've always been into like ghosts and strange things and stories, but it was always just kind of like, have a beer, have a glass of wine, hear a story, or watch one of the old Discovery Channel shows or a documentary and go, huh, that's kind of a head scratcher. But yeah, when this happened, it kind of brought it to a whole new level to me. It was kind of like, okay, something happened. I don't know what it is. I've gone over everything in my mind a million times. I can't figure out what this is. And the only clear explanation at the time was maybe there's something to this stuff. I mean, we're in the middle of the Sierras. Bigfoots are kind of known to be here. So it seemed like a pretty logical conclusion that was like, if you're going to keep an open mind about this stuff, and then it's kind of, you know, you kind of go in this downward spiral where you start looking at every video out there, you start hearing recordings, you start hearing testimony after testimony, start listening to like your show and everything else on YouTube. And it's just like, you know, like in court, they call it preponderance of evidence. And it's kind of, you have a realization of, wow, we're really not there. We're really not alone out there in the woods.
Yeah, you're right. And you brought up a good point too. You know, I've always said, if you want to bring one of these things in, the wounded prey calls are a great way to start, or a baby crying is a great way to start, because you're going to get their attention. They're going to come in. The problem is every other predator is going to come in and check out, see what's going on. If they think it's a quick, easy kill, quick, easy meal, you know, I would imagine cougar and everything else would come in. How many years later was your second encounter?
Well, my second encounter was actually that same year, but it was, I don't know, 500-600 miles away. It was in a completely different mountain. Back to that, where that happened in Springfield, just really, really in Springville, where that happened again. It was just kind of it was one of those epiphanies later on that I had the hair standing on my neck. And you ever get one of those, like you see in a movie, oh, I've got a bad feeling about this? Well, when we were blasting a predator call, I remember that going through my head, like, predator call, I've got a bad feeling about this. And it's kind of funny how you brought up the baby crying. I remember way back in one of your episodes, you were talking about how you were playing a baby crying out in the woods, and it really got their attention. As I'm sure it wouldn't just be Bigfoot either, like you were saying. I'm sure it would just be any kind of predator out there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Actually, before we get into your second encounter, do you saw lights at this first place, or was that a different situation?
No. This is the same place. This was in out in the boondocks of Springville at my father-in-law's property. He's, like I said, he's got 15 acres, and it's pretty open clearing surrounded by woods and the mountains. I'll have to send you some pictures or something to post to the website so people have a little bit of a kind of a reference point. But you can sit there on the porch and barbecue and see everything. Well, it was actually this very same trip. It was kind of a weird trip. Ben and I are sitting there on the porch. We're looking off the porch, and about 200 yards away, I think we measured it for shooting, there's a tree line, and then in this tree line is a steep hill, and on the other side of the hill is a neighbor's property. His house isn't anywhere near a line of fire for shooting, anybody who's worried about that. But yeah, it's an open clearing, and it kind of starts going up this hillside, and about 200 yards away, there's this really thick tree line, and there's like a barbed wire fence. Well, behind that barbed wire fence is where the trees are. And I remember we've shot birds before, you know, shot dove or gone squirrel hunting. And if one ends up back there, you're never going to get it. I mean, it is just like unbelievably thick brush, trees and stickers and everything else. I mean, you would literally have to like army crawl your way through this stump to get, and it is not something you can just go tromp through. And there's poison oak and a million reasons why you don't want to crawl through there. It's pretty nasty, you know, because it's the back part of a property between ours and the neighbor's property that no one ever upkeeps. It's just overgrown woods. And we're sitting there on the porch, and all of a sudden it's dark. This later at night, I think we're having a cocktail or two, and we're kind of just sitting there enjoying our time in the woods. And I'm like, hey, Ben, do you see that? And he's like, what, that light up there? And I'm like, yeah, the light kind of on the hill in the tree line. And I'm like, what do you think that is? He's like, it's a reflection. And I'm like, maybe, but what could be reflecting? We've been up there. And he's like, well, it's moving and it's kind of flickering. And we're looking, and I'm like, we have one little porch light on. We don't have anything bright enough to reflect. There's nobody else around. And I'm like, Ben, you've been in that brush briar patch thing before up there. You're never going to, you know, no one's going to go walking through there. It almost looked like a headlamp moving through slowly through this trees. And we could kind of shine our brightest spotlights and flashlights, and we couldn't really see anything. It was just this light moving through the trees. And it was very odd. It was a dull yellow light. It kind of looked like, have you ever seen a movie, like the guy's going through a cave with like a torch in his hand?
Yeah.
It looked like yellow fire, like a yellow fire, but more like in a ball. And it was just kind of slowly drifting through the woods, and it was past the fence line. and the fence line is a hill. And Ben's like, are we seeing Bender's house? And I'm like, no, there's a, like a big hill between us and Bender's property. Who's the neighbor up there.
Let me ask you, how big was it? Was it about the size of a headlamp?
You know, I was thinking it was a headlamp, but from 200 yards away to be as big as we saw it, it would have to be the size of like a basketball or maybe even up to a beach ball, because it was bright and visible, but it was kind of a dull light. I know that doesn't make sense. Like if you think of a big dull light.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. I saw something very similar here in Washington State, and I thought it was someone when we were out on the Browns property. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had seen it was a dull light, you know, and it was about the size. It reminded me of someone with a headlamp on, and just kind of the way it was moving, it was almost like someone had a headlamp on and they were making their way through heavy brush, you know, the way it would kind of bob. But it wasn't a headlamp.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too, the way that sound carries up there. If it had been somebody in this brush as thick as it was, we would have heard them crashing around, but it was just this silent light in the hillside. It kind of reminded me, have you ever seen a campfire or a beach fire from like 200 yards away? Kind of like that, but it was a lot more contained and it was just silently going through the woods. And I remember Ben and I just kind of going like, oh, that's something you don't see every day. And, you know, after the Bigfoot thing earlier, and it was kind of like, well, this is turning out to be a little bit of a strange trip. Yeah. And it was like, did something follow us or what is it? Or, you know, and this mountain, if people want to look it up, it's called Battle Mountain. Is the name of it. And I guess way back in the 1800s, there was some cavalry Indian battle up there. And I guess it didn't go too well for the Indians like it typically does in history, which is kind of sorry to say. But I guess there's history. And
there's actually been Sasquatch sightings. That name rings a bell, Battle Mountain. I think I've read encounters off that mountain.
Yeah, if you go on the BFRO website. Now, the BFRO website, I talked to a lot of people about this. It's a great reference point to start, but I think if you look up a county and they have, you know, 10 encounters, you got to think there's probably been 1,000 encounters, you know, it's just how many people report them or where do they report them to, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But if you go to Tulare County and you look at reports, half those reports are from that same area going way back. I think even back to the 50s and stuff like that. There's a lot of Bigfoot reporting. And it's about, I don't know, 15 or 20 miles from Lake Success, which is kind of a reservoir dam. And if you've ever seen the Hairy Man Caves, where they have kind of like this, I think it's like red and yellow cave drawings of what looks to be like a Bigfoot.
That's right.
Yeah, that's like right around the corner. That's like, you know, within a few miles from where this all took place. So the history is really rich up there. With Bigfoot and strange things and Indian stories. And I remember I forget the name of the tribe. I'm sorry, but I remember the stories being about, oh, don't go in the woods because the hairy man will get you. And these cave drawings are of the hairy man. And, yeah, it's all kind of interesting when you start putting these pieces and, kind of putting these puzzle pieces together.
Well, do this for me, Matt. I know again, the YouTube channel is Matt Squatch Presents. For the audience out there, definitely go check it out. Tell us about your second encounter.
Well, my second encounter happened in Idlewild, California, which is the San Jacinto Mountains, however you want to think about it. If you're going east on the 10 towards Arizona from California, you're going to drive through this valley where Palm Springs is. Everybody's heard of Palm Springs. The left side is a big giant mountain range. That's Big Bear and Arrowhead. And on the right side, it's kind of lesser known, is where Idlewild and Pine Cove and a bunch of little mountain communities are. And my family owns a cabin up there, and it's around 6,000 feet in elevation and a really pretty big mountain range if you look at it from an aerial view or if you tried to drive around it or been up there. And there's it's a pretty big place. And what makes it interesting is we've been going up there for years, and I kind of read some reports on BFRO and different things like that. There's not too much going on up there. I mean, there's a few reports from the Idlewild side of the mountain, but what made fall of 2013 when we were up there in November is earlier in that year, July, we had a big fire. It was called the Mountain Fire. I think there's like a Wikipedia article, and I think it was like 26,000 acres, some giant amount of woods burned up there. And I remember it was pretty dramatic because that July, my father and I, we hopped in the pickup truck and drove up there, and we had to, like, you know, stop at the checkpoint and show them, hey, we own a house. And they let us in to go gather belongings and get stuff out of there. Meanwhile, there's like the big DC-10s flying over and water dropping helicopters and smoke's pouring over the side of the mountain. It was really pretty dramatic. Thankfully, our house didn't burn down, or it didn't really get to where we were. It was just kind of a scary situation. Well, fast forward to November, which is 3, 4, 5 months later, or 4 months later from July. And my wife and I are up there. It's just me and her, and we have two dogs with us. We have Rusty, who's an old golden retriever, and Sparky, who's a beagle. And if you know beagles, they're kind of a handful. And we're up there. We're sleeping in the spare bedroom, a little queen-size bed. And I think we got both dogs with us, and they're kind of laying on the floor. We don't let the dogs in the bed with us because they're too big. And yeah, it was up there. It was a quiet day. I think we just kind of did our normal cabin stuff where you know, build a fire and roast marshmallows in the fireplace and sit down on the porch and have a drink and watch the sunset and let the dogs run around. It wasn't anything, you know, out of the ordinary that trip. One thing that we did do is we did go up and go for a drive down towards Lake Hemet, which is a little lower, kind of on the backside of the mountain through some of the hills there. And we could see big giant patches of land where the fire had come through, and that really kind of put a, you know, it really kind of surprised you, because it was just, you'd stop at a clearing and you'd look out and it'd just be as far as you could see black and nothing, you know. I mean, it was a pretty devastating forest fire. Luckily, the side that we were on stayed pretty good, and the little sleepy town of Idlewild stayed pretty clear of it too. But yeah, so we went to bed that night. We're just sleeping there in bed. And both dogs are there, you know, on the right side of the bed. I was sleeping on the right side of the bed, which is right next to the window. And the dogs are sitting there. And in the middle of the night, I think I'm pretty sound asleep. And I hear a big thud on the side of the house. I mean, it like shook the house, shook the window. And I come sitting up like, whoa, what was that? And I could kind of hear something like moving around, maybe even slightly like brushing up against the side of the house. This is the corner bedroom, and the house is built on a hill. So it's like a two-story house, but the way it's built on a hill, it's kind of hard to explain. There's an upstairs and a downstairs, but you could go downstairs and walk to the upstairs, but never actually take any steps because it's built on a hill. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. But we're there in the spare bedroom. I hear this big whomp, and I bolt upright. I'm like, what is that? And then I notice both dogs are kind of just, they're kind of just whimpering. They're kind of cowering, which is not like these dogs. These dogs are like, if you get them up, they're like, play, eat, go outside. You know, they're not like that usually. And I just remember hearing something moving around outside, and my heart's pounding. The hair is the back of my neck. I get this really sick feeling. I was kind of a little freaked out during the hunting trip when we were up there. It was kind of like, well, what was that? This time though, I had the feeling of dread, like heart pounding, like horror movie. I had a really, really bad feeling. It was just, I can't explain it. I know Bigfoot enthusiasts, people who study this stuff, they talk about infrasound. I don't know what it was, but it was definitely this heart pounding out of my chest, dread feeling. The dogs were freaked out. By this time, my wife's up and she's like, what's going on? I thought I heard something. And I'm like, I don't know, honey. Did you hear that? She's like, I don't know. I thought I heard something. What's going on with the dogs? And I'm like, there's something outside. Be quiet. So I work up all the nerve in the world that I have to look out of that window. And it's got these horizontal blinds, and my heart's pounding, and I lift up the blinds. I don't really see anything. There's nothing really moving around. It's quiet. There's these little Malibu lights plugged in along the driveway, those little solar powered lights. They don't really do much as far as illuminate, but it's something. I don't see anything. I can kind of, you know, but as soon as I look out the window, everything kind of goes quiet. The dogs go quiet. So I kind of sit back down. I kind of just crawl back into bed. My heart's pounding. I don't know what to do at this point. I could kind of hear a little bit more movement, and then I don't hear anything else. It kind of goes away. I don't think I slept the rest of that night, to be honest. It's one of those things where I don't think I fell asleep until I got light out. Then you wake up and you're all tired in the morning. I think it was one of those kind of situations. So the next part of it is in the morning when you got dogs, you got to let them out. So they got to go do their business. I get up and Teresa's kind of like, well, what was that? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to think logically. I'm like, maybe it was a mountain lion. Maybe it was a bear. They don't really have bears in Idaho Wild. It's not like Big Bear where they got lots of bears. Every once in a blue moon, I take it. A bear wanders over, crosses the desert, actually wanders up there. But bears are incredibly rare in Idaho Wild. But there are tons of mountain lions. I've seen two in the years I've been up there. We've seen bobcats. There's more coyotes. The coyotes are like mice and squirrels up there. They're everywhere. There's tons of mice, tons of squirrels, lots of raccoons, everything you can imagine in the woods. There's pretty much up there. So I'm thinking, well, maybe there was a mountain lion, but I'm like, well, mountain lions don't really thump on houses, I've never heard. And I don't think they would have the physical weight to put in what I heard thump on the house. Anyway, I let the dogs out the next morning. Normally these dogs go tearing off and they go run around. Like you've ever had a couple of stupid dogs that go running off in the woods and they go do their business and pee and sniff around and chase each other. And you call them and they ignore you. It's kind of the same thing you always do with dogs. But this was not the case. This was, we were up there and, the dogs kind of walked down the porch. They walked about the five steps down the porch and right there on the concrete where the driveway is, they just kind of both squatted, did their business, and they were very acute. Their ears were forward. Their eyes were forward. They're kind of looking up the hill. They're kind of looking around. And I'm like, come on, you guys want to go? Let's go for a walk. And they're like, very odd. And by this point, the woods are like dead silent. Like I don't hear cars driving up. I don't hear the squirrels. I don't hear birds. Maybe just a very slight rustling from the trees. The dogs are still really freaked out, which has still kind of got me a little bit freaked out. I'd kind of calmed down by that point. I kind of reestablished the pucker factor, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I kind of looked at the corner of the house. It's really dry, packed dirt there. It's been, with the exception of this year, it was really wet, but the years previous, it was so dry up there. And this being November after a bad dry season, there wasn't any way it was going to leave prints, but I was looking for sign, looking for something, and I didn't really see anything.
Yeah, it's frustrating not be able to see what was causing it. Was it the only one time that this happened there at the place?
Well, at the cabin, yes. This was really only the one time that I experienced something. But later on that day, after I let the dogs out the first time, we went back inside. We made breakfast. It was like a couple hours later. I take them back out. I want to go for an honest walk. I want to take a look around. And at this point, I'm kind of dragging the dogs along. You know, they didn't really want to go. They were a little more enthusiastic. And I'm walking by the neighbor's house, which is probably 75 yards down the road, and they're loading up a car. And to kind of just give them a nod. But I hear them talking to each other because one guy's kind of looking around. He's going, what was that last night? And he's talking to somebody else up there. And I kind of overhear him, I don't know. Something was tropping around out here. Oh, well, it's us and those other people over there. I don't know. Something was out here last night stomping around, looking around. And I kind of overheard that. And I should have stopped and talked to him. But I don't know. I guess I just didn't want to bother him. So later on, we're getting ready to go. This was a Saturday night. So I think it was Sunday morning. Usually we come home on a Sunday. It was like Sunday around midday. I think we're loading up the car and my wife and I are out by the car in the driveway. And this is where things really get odd. It starts raining. You know, it's like a little bit like the trees are kind of rustling in the breeze and it starts raining acorns. Like I hear an acorn drop next to me. I hear one kind of dunk bounce off the car. And I'm kind of just standing there weird, and the dogs are doing their thing where they're staring straight up the hill. They're staring straight up the hill, and they're all acute, and they're kind of whining, whimpering again. And my wife's looking at me like, these are the acorns. And I'm like, we're not even underneath an oak tree. We're underneath a cedar tree. Where are these acorns coming from? And it was right around that time of us going, wow, this is weird. I see an acorn coming at me, but it's not falling down. It's coming in at, like, you know, like a line drive. It's coming in at me at, like, not a very steep angle, like it's being thrown, and it kind of misses me and falls to the ground, and I hear it, and then a little while later a pebble falls, and I'm like, what's going on? We're looking in the trees. We're like, are there squirrels around here? What's going on? You know, there's not any real good cover nearby, so if something was throwing them at us, or if it was kids with a wrist rocket or something, they'd have to be pretty far away. And if it was kids with a wrist rocket, the dogs wouldn't be freaked out. They would probably run up to them. So it was just very odd. And I think by that point, we're like, okay, let's lock the door. Let's get off this mountain. So, yeah, that was basically the second encounter. The dogs were freaked out, and we had some acorns and little pebbles thrown at us. And something thumped the house in the middle of the night. And, you know, normally I never really had – I've had a few odd experiences, I'd say paranormal-wise, at this cabin over the years. Like years prior, but I've never had anything really Bigfoot related. Like I said, I know on the BFRO, or if you Google it, there are, have been a few sightings. The only thing I can think of is if these creatures are real, which I think if we're on this show, we can say that they are, that because of the big fires, I think they were displaced. I think they were looking for food. I think they were looking for water. I think all their traditional, you know, because if you look at Idlewild and Pine Cove, where all these communities are, it, you see that there's like one side of the mountain has all the people and the back side of the mountain is just mountain. It's just hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres of just trees and bushes. And I think they kind of, if they're up there, they probably keep to themselves. When it gets cold, they probably move down to the more deserty, high desert areas. And when it gets warm, they probably hike back up the mountain, just like most critters do. And I think with all the fires, I think they were displaced was probably the only reason that they would be on the side of the people side, I think. Or maybe they come around. I have no idea.
No, it makes sense, though. I mean, you can look at, I remember one time I was looking at data here in Washington State, and there was a time period where there was almost no encounters reported on the east side of the state. And if you line that up to what was going on during that time, there was forest fires. Because believe it or not, here in Washington State, the east side of the state's nothing but a desert. And
yeah, that's what I've heard.
The encounters on the west side of the state almost doubled during that time. So, I mean, they're smart enough to get out of the area. It kind of makes sense that they would move out of that area, especially when a fire was in. That's probably why it came down, was probably just checking the area out. Hard to say.
You know, and it really got me into looking into Southern California, because when you think of Southern California, you know, you kind of look at an overview map and you kind of look at it. You're like, well, okay, this next mountain range over is Big Bear. Big Bear, that area, Arrowhead area, there's been a bunch of sightings up there over the years. Okay. The mountain next to it, the one I spent a lot of time in, the San Jacinto National Forest and Idlewild. Okay. There's a lot of sightings. And if you look to the Los Angeles National Forest, which is really close to the city, there's even been a fair number of sightings there over the years. Okay. You look down in Palm Desert, and if you Google the Yucca Man, there's stories of the 1970s of this blonde Sasquatch walking around down in Palm Springs. Okay. And you look down south where Anza Borrego is, and even further south, which is in San Diego County, you have the reports if people remember the Zuby stories with the doctor about the Bigfoot in his backyard, and then all the paranormal stuff that the Border Patrol caught. And then I remember a few shows back, you had a guy who had a dogman encounter off of Highway 10, which is just right down the mountain from where Idlewild is. I mean, you kind of start putting all these pieces together, and it's like, wow, I think there's a lot of area here that these things move around in. And I think they migrate probably from the high desert on the backside towards San Diego and towards Julian down there in some mountain areas. And they probably move through Idlewild and probably move through Big Bear, and they probably migrate all over the place. I'm sure they follow deer, and I'm sure they've got it figured out better than we do.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you on that. And well, I have to have you back, Matt, to talk about some of your paranormal encounters, but I wanted to ask you, what do you think Sasquatch is? I know you had two encounters where you obviously didn't see them, but it was in both situations. It's like, well, what else could it be? But in your own personal opinion, what do you think Sasquatch is?
Well, I knew you were going to ask me this question, so I actually thought about it quite a bit. But from all the hundreds of encounters I've heard, from all the pictures and videos, I'm pretty much convinced that it's some kind of a human ape hybrid, like with the whole Melba Ketchum thing. Like, it's I think it's mostly ape. I think if I had to break it down into percentages, because that's the only way that my mind could probably break it down, is I would say it's probably 80% some kind of big ape, something related to a mountain gorilla and a Gigantopithecus. And then I think there's probably, you know, like, what is it, 80%? So it's probably 18 or 19% human. Because, you know, you get a lot of reports of these things being very human or doing very human things. And you get a lot of reports where they're like a big monkey. So I think they're probably 80% ape of some kind, 19% human. Then I think there's 1% of something that's very different with these things, whether people want to go down the road of the Nephilim or genetic experiment or spirit animals that the natives talked about for thousands of years.
Yeah.
There's something else with these things. There's just that 1%, you know, for the cloak stories or the eyes glowed back when I wasn't shining light on them, for it mind spoke to me, to the parallel dimension stuff that Ron Moorhead gets into. I think these things are a flesh and blood creature. I think they go to the bathroom. I think they eat. I think they sleep. I think they reproduce. I think they have families. But I think it's like, if the paranormal is a pool, I think they got one toe or one foot, so to speak, in that pool. There's something else about these things.
Yeah. Something very strange about them, that's for sure. Well, I appreciate you coming on and talking about it, Matt. I'll definitely have to have you back. I'd love to hear some of the paranormal stories. But for the audience, go to Matt Squatch Presents on YouTube, subscribe, and like. What were you going to say, Matt?
Yeah, just real quick about that. I've only got a few videos up on YouTube. I originally just started it for something to do. But I'm going to look into a bunch of different subjects. I'm going to do one about all the different Bigfoot types, just different theories. I notice on YouTube there's a lot of people that do BFRO encounters, or they recite other people's encounters, and those are really cool. I love hearing those. But I'm going to try to do some of my own original research. I'm going to try to do some expeditions. I'm going to try to take some pictures. I'm going to try to give my two cents on things and look at things logically. So, yeah, there's not much up there right now, but there's going to be a lot more to come.
Well, I'll be rooting for you. Thanks again for coming on, man.
Thanks, Wes. Anytime, and it was a great pleasure and an honor to be on.
Thanks, Matt. The honor was mine. Next up on the show is John from Missouri. John, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you being here. Now, did your encounters happen in Missouri?
Yeah, Missouri.
Okay. And if you would, maybe start with your very first one. I think you were 10 years older. It was 10 years ago. Actually, you weren't 10 years old. It was 10 years ago. If you would, yeah, just kind of walk us into what happened.
Well, me and my friend was out late at night, just wandering around, getting. Well, I don't think we really vandalized anything, but we was just causing a little trouble a little bit, and we was walking back to my house, and about like halfway through this field, which is a cornfield now, it was during the winter months, and I heard heavy footfalls every time I stopped. Me and my friend would stop, and the last time I looked back, and I seen the full moon was out, and I seen a silhouette of two big figures in behind us. It was quite a ways off, though.
Yeah.
Probably about 100 yards. That's what happened that time.
Yeah.
And my second one, it was last year. And I was having a fire I got a fire pit in the backyard, 4 acres. And I had a headlamp on, and I looked like something said looking behind, like an eerie feeling, and looking behind, seeing like a red eye shine. There's one thing I noticed. I can actually see like how your pupil is, like the color of your pupil. I can really see that red of that. It was pretty close.
And were you able to see? I love the way you speak. I could definitely listen to you all day long. And I don't know if it's the accent there in Missouri or not, John. But was it in the cornfield, or was it by a corn? I know you.
No, we grew corn in a garden.
Oh, I
got you. Sweet corn and popcorn. We actually grew popcorn.
No kidding, huh? Wow. And you, and how far away from you was the thing with the red eyes that you saw?
It's about maybe not even probably 50, 100 feet away.
Oh wow, it wasn't close. That far. Yeah, it was really close.
Yeah, it was real close.
Were the eyes glowing, or did they? Was it more of you know, when a reflection?
I think it was a reflection. I'm pretty sure it was. I'm not for sure, but I think it was because I had the headlamp on. When I turned, the headlamp actually hit that area.
Has this been going on for a long time around the house?
No, I don't know. I noticed things. I listened to you and actually kind of pit some things out where they kind of keep off my property. Yeah, like game cameras, that does work. I know that. Game cameras, it does keep them off from off my property.
Yeah, and so on two occasions you've seen kind of, was it more or less kind of outlines? I realize it's at night.
Yeah, it's outlines. Funny thing is, I know you be careful what you wish for, but I actually want to see what the thing looks like in the light.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. The other question I wanted to ask you was about the lights. You had mentioned in your email you had seen strange lights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, because I didn't hear no, like, it wasn't no helicopter, because the corn was knocked down and locked down in the pattern, and it wasn't no helicopter or nothing, but my game camera, because I seen that red eye shine a little bit before that, I put a game camera right pointing towards where I seen it at. And the game camera didn't capture anything. And then next day, I was on Mark helicopter flying real low. I mean, real low.
What did the light look like that you saw?
It was just like, I don't know. It's kind of weird. It was like flat. It looked like flashlights, but I don't know. That ain't it either. It's different, like four different lights, like in the corn. I seen it going around in the cornfield. I don't know if it's people or nothing. I don't know if it's people or something landed in the corn in there in my corn. Or I don't know. I didn't have the guts to really drive back there.
Yeah. No. I hear you. It's there's a lot of strange things out there, isn't there? I mean, I get a lot of reports in Missouri, a lot, and some of the people. I guess it depends on
Oh yeah. You heard. Did you hear of the cow mutilations from Missouri?
Was that recently?
It was a long while back. It was in Ellsbury, Missouri. I live in that same county.
Yeah, no, and that happened like back in what, the 70s and 80s, didn't it?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's a way back, but I heard about it, though. did my research, I done a lot of research. Yeah. I heard a lot of people, and done a lot of research.
Maybe you can solve something for me real quick. It's way off topic on this subject, but does it depend on what part of the state you're in? Some people will get upset with me and say it's Missouri, not Missouri. And then
I think that's more like the Ozarks area, like southern Missouri, the Ozark Mountain area, we call them the Boot Hills of Missouri. Well, I'm way above that
area. You. So it's a southern.
Like they call Bigfoot the Blue Man down there.
Do they really? I've never heard that before.
Because a Union soldier way back in the day had an encounter with it. That's why they called it the Blue Man.
Really? That's interesting. I'd never heard that story before. So they had seen it back then. They call it the Blue Man?
Yeah, in southern Missouri, and mostly where I'm located, there's a county up north at Louisiana County, Missouri, and they actually casted a three-toed print up there. I heard that story. That happened a while back.
Yeah, I remember that.
They caught They call it up here Momo.
Yeah, that's right. They call it Momo. Yeah, it's there's a lot that goes on, definitely. And I think your first encounter, you know, when you ran into them and it was chasing you, kind of what you describe, you hear a lot of people say, when you stop, it stops. When you move, it moves. It's very odd behavior, don't you think?
Yeah, that's odd. I've even seen a strange creature on the back road before, too.
Oh, yeah? What'd you see?
Well, it was all fours, but as big as black. You know what? And black bear ain't this far up north. They're more south in the Ozark Mountains in Missouri. And I didn't ever see like the head and like is running on all fours. I didn't ever see the head. And I seen like black bear run on TV in nature. And it didn't run like that either. And I didn't see no ears or the head of it either. I drove by it. I'm like, I didn't stop. I kept on going.
And was this during the day, John, or was this at night?
No, it was during the nighttime. It was on one of these back gravel roads out in this county.
Oh, I got you. Well, be safe while you're out there. I'm glad you listened to the show. It always cracks me up when I hear people say something I've said, like, be careful what you wish for. A lot of times I don't think anyone's paying attention, but I really appreciate you listening to the show and sharing the encounters. And I love your accent, John. I could sit and listen to you. I mean, you should do audiobooks, man. I could sit and listen to you all day long tell a story. But I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, John. Best interview ever. God, I love that guy. I could sit and listen to him all day. If you've had an encounter, I'm probably going to bring John back on so get used to it. I literally could sit and listen to him all day long, tell stories. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Until next time, everyone. Of you.